Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God again tonight with you. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Just appreciate being able to come back to the house of the Lord. Amen. Sunday night. Amen. It's nice to see most people came back. It's always nice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I just have a real simple topic on my heart tonight. And we'll just kind of just jump into it. And if we get done early, we'll get done early. Amen. But you know, this word is simple. Like we sang that song. Amen. I think that song is very applicable for tonight. You'll see why. Amen. But I just love the fact that, you know, God, right before, he unveils some of the greatest mysteries in the Bible, had his messenger preach God in simplicity. You know, it was almost like a calming, like, don't worry. You know, like, this is not going to be, you know, we're opening the seven seals, and it's like, in simplicity. Amen. You know, it to me, it says peace, you know. Amen. Don't worry. You don't have to be a PhD like we sang in the song to get this. Amen. Amen. Just a simple believer. Right. That's what I want to be tonight. Amen. Don't you just want to be a simple believer? Amen. I want it said of me, he just believes God. Amen. Not sophisticated. Not intellectual, just believes God. So tonight we're going to talk about childlike faith. Amen. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 18. But we're just going to read the first four verses here. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him. Now, I can't imagine that this is the way they thought this conversation was going to go. Because like we said this morning, look at what the question that they asked. It wasn't what is the greatest, it's who, right? So they were looking for an answer of this person, right? They were looking for the answer that the Catholics have given with the Pope, right? Who have said, it's Peter and every Pope that's come after him, right? Or it's this person and this evangelist and this ministry and this, right? That's what they were looking for. They were looking for him to kind of put things in order. Well, you know, first it's Peter and then it's James and John, right? Something. I mean, look at the question they're asking. Who's the greatest, Lord? Who do you think, you know, who's up here and, you know, you can tell us who's bringing up the rear, right? But what I love about this is Jesus, he almost kind of ignores their question. Sure. Because they want to know who, and he tells them what. In other words, he tells them what characteristics are great. And so they say, who's the greatest? And he calls a little child unto him. And he sets him in the midst of them. Just for them to look at. Amen? Get your mind picture on this. Put it right in the middle. Come here. You sit. And all they're wondering, what's he going to... Like, is this like, you know, the next John the Baptist? This the next prophet? This whatever, this little child? But that's not what Jesus was showing them, right? He takes the little child, sets him in the midst of them, and says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, you guys have a little ways to go yet. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not even enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're wanting to know who's the greatest, and Jesus is telling them, you haven't even arrived yet. You've got to be converted and be like a little child to even enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're not even talking about who's the greatest. Right. We're just talking about getting in. And he says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is a powerful message. It takes everything that they had been taught, everything that they understood in their religion, and just flips it on its head. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to come into your house, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just have your way. Lord, use us, Lord, speaker and hearer alike, tonight for your glory. And Father, may you just be pleased, Lord, to have the preeminence here and take complete control, Father, of all the remainder of this service, Lord. And Lord, we just need you more than ever, Father. We just pray that you'd speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, the disciples had this problem where they were carnal. They were human, right? And they were comparing each other. They were comparing themselves to each other, right? Which is the same thing people do today. It's the same thing churches do. It's the same thing ministries do. Amen? Believers compare themselves one to another. It's one of the worst things that we can do, is try and compare ourselves. The only person that we should be comparing ourselves to is Jesus. Amen? So they were wondering who's got the greatest gift, who's going to have the greatest ministry, who's going to have the highest position, who's the one, they asked, who's going to sit on your throne, right? Or, you know, they sent mom to ask because they were too afraid. Mom, go ask him, right? Who's going to sit on your left hand and your right hand? And Jesus takes the question and redirects it, and he says, look, there's a group that's going to be exhibiting certain characteristics in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen? He didn't say Peter or the Pope. He said a little child, or one that would humble himself as this little child. Amen. Not one that's looking for a position. Not one that's even thinking about a position or has that on their mind. But one that would humble himself as this little child. And I imagine, you know, if you think about that little child coming into the midst of these men, he had probably heard about Jesus, and he had heard about the disciples, and he'd heard about the ministry, and he was probably a little kind of nervous and shy, right? To be placed right in the middle. Maybe had his head down, didn't want to make eye contact. Amen? You think, if you can think or imagine that scenario, it's not like he was boldly going out there. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have identified his humility. But he's out, you know, maybe he's just, you know, maybe a little shy or even embarrassed at the attention in the presence of these great men, these great people. And Jesus said, you humble yourself like that. And that's what I'm looking for. Look for the children. And you know, it's a wonderful illustration, because we can be reminded of it every time we encounter a child. Amen? It reminds us of that parable. Be converted, he says. Be changed. Don't be like you were before. Once you are converted and become as a little child, he says. So being converted makes you, or turns you, it changes you into this childlike state where you are become a child before the Father, before Father God. Amen? Now, a child has certain characteristics, of course. Now, we're not talking about the bad ones here. we're not talking about temper tantrums and things like that, right? We're talking about the innocent qualities of a child, right? A child is harmless, is inoffensive, right? They're not offending people. They don't have malice or guile. right? They're malleable. You can govern them. You can train them. You can control them, and they're willing. Amen. They're little sponges. They soak up examples. If you live an example before a child, they'll mimic that, right? They're not looking for honor. Jesus identifies that the childlike nature is humble because they're not caring for themselves. They're not self-reliant. Amen. A little child isn't thinking about, man, I gotta get up and I gotta go to work tomorrow and I gotta do this. And they're just like, dad's gonna take care of it. Mom's gonna take care of it. Right? They're not worried about tomorrow. Maybe they're thinking about, well, I'm gonna play with my friends tomorrow. Right? But they're not worried about taking care of themselves. So let's read some scriptures here tonight, and we're just going to go through some of these here just in a little order and kind of take them one at a time and look at some of the characteristics that God identifies in a childlike nature and what they are and what they aren't. Is that all right? Amen. Something just simple maybe tonight to help us in the coming week. 1 Corinthians 14:20, he says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." So you see that this example of being like a child has certain limitations, right? We're taking some of the good attributes of a child, and we want the word to rightly divide that for us tonight as we talk about childlike faith. So we're not to be young and immature in our understanding of the word. We're to be men in understanding of the word. In other words, grown, right? Mature. Having childlike faith is not an excuse to be ignorant of God's word or to set God's word aside. I think sometimes this is where some of the Pentecostal groups got off, right? They major on faith, and they set aside understanding. Amen? But he says, we are to be mature in understanding, but in malice be children. Amen? That we would be weak and not fully developed. In other words, right? We're not strong and mature in malice. We're not experienced in malice, but we are weak amateurs, not good at malice. Amen? But in understanding, we are experienced and mature and developed. In Ephesians 4:14, it says, "Henceforth, we be no more children." Well, wait a minute. Jesus just told us that we're to be like a child, but here he says we are to be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We are to be well experienced and mature in the word, so that we're not tossed as a child might be, pulled one way or the other. Mature enough to see through the deceit of our enemy. Because our enemy is deceitful, and he's a liar, and he's a trickster. But we, as we grow, we mature and we're understanding of his devices. We're not supposed to be ignorant or turn a blind eye to these things. We're supposed to recognize them. We're supposed to discern them. We're supposed to withstand them. Amen? Not be easily swayed one way or another. But you see that childlike nature, where you are easily swayed, is an advantage when it comes to believing the word of God. Amen. A child will believe what they're told. So when the devil tells you something, you're not supposed to believe it. You're not supposed to be childlike toward him. You're supposed to be mature and not children towards the things of the world and the things of the enemy, but you're supposed to have childlike faith when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Amen. Not easily swayed by the world, but led of the Spirit and secure in our relationship with God. Amen. Knowing that I've got a Father and He's taking care of me. Amen. And when the enemy comes and tries to toss me to and fro, carry me by every wind of doctrine, I just come back to the fact that I have a Father and He will give me what I have need of. If I need to know something, He'll give it to me. Amen. I can't be preyed upon by men that are trying to bring false doctrines into the church because I'm trusting in my Father. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So here we are likened unto babes and to children that desire. Notice what he says. You should desire the sincere milk of the word. That's what the admonition here is. Desire the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. And the milk for the newborn babe is his nourishment. It's his survival. He's not able to have anything else. He's got to desire that thing, that only thing, that he will make him grow and protect him from disease and strengthen him that he may grow thereby. One thing that a newborn babe is they are totally dependent on their mother for that nourishment. Right? It's not like a newborn babe is going, waking up in the middle of the night and saying, I'm going to go to the fridge and see what, you know, I can find. Right? They cry until mama comes. And if mama doesn't come, they're not getting fed. They are dependent on their mother for nourishment. Amen? And they're not looking for other things. They don't have a taste for all these other things. Amen? They've only got a taste for the sincere milk of the word. They take what they're given with gusto. Amen? You know, it's amazing. Little babes, when they go through those early stages of life, I mean, it seems like they just grow and grow and grow just so quickly. They change so fast. Amen? And man, they're feeding off that sincere milk. Amen? Seems like they grow in leaps and bounds sometimes, but they only desire the word. Amen? Those babes, they don't have a taste for anything else. They're made to receive that word, and that's all they want. You remember in your experience when you first came to the Lord, or you first came into the new birth, you had revival in your life when you were just starting out and the word was so fresh to you? Amen? When it was new, when you couldn't get enough, when everything, suddenly the word became a new book to you and everything opened up and everything was life and vibrant and you just couldn't get enough. Give me more. And everything was new and fresh. I think we should get back to that, don't you? Amen. That shouldn't be a past experience for us. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. He says, therefore, take no thought. This is Jesus speaking again. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or wherewithal shall we be, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Amen. This is another powerful statement by Jesus, right? A child doesn't worry how they will provide for themselves. He's speaking about childlike faith here. He's speaking about childlike dependence on Him. Amen? This is not asking, or this is he's not saying don't ask what we're going to have for dinner. Right? Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Right. Trying to figure out, well, I don't know, what do you want? I don't know, what do you want? What shall we eat? Right? It's not asking what you want. It's saying don't worry about it. Don't worry about where that your next meal is going to come from or where the means to get the next meal. Don't worry, fret about how we will survive. He's not saying that we shouldn't have a little planning. Right? A little planning is fine. Meal planning, it's good. Amen? Planning ahead a little bit. Setting a little money aside for a rainy day or something like that. He's not saying don't be a good steward or anything like that, but he's saying don't worry. Maybe you've got money in the bank to pay for the next meal, or maybe you don't. But either way, you shouldn't worry about it. You shouldn't, don't let it steal your joy. I think there's a saying, don't let the worry of tomorrow steal the joy of today. Amen? I'm not sure where I heard that. Maybe I just made it up. I don't know. Probably somebody said that. But Jesus told us for sure, he did tell us in this same chapter, I don't have it up here, a few verses later, he said, take no thought for the morrow. Right? Because he said the evil of tomorrow, he said tomorrow will take care of itself. And the evil of tomorrow, it's sufficient unto that day. Don't bring the evil of tomorrow into today. Don't worry about things that are to come today. Amen? And these are attributes of a childlike faith, where they're not worried about what about tomorrow and the next day and the future and crossing every bridge. Right? They aren't stressed about tomorrow. Focus on today. Hearing the voice of God speaking to you today, right now. Amen. How many times? You don't have to raise your we don't need a show of hands here tonight. But I'm sure that many would raise their hands and say that there have been times when the devil has stolen something from you in church because he got you worried about something that's coming for tomorrow, something for Monday, or something coming this week, or something coming, you know, after a Wednesday service, something preying on your mind. Amen? Yeah, I think that's a really good saying, right? Something is preying on my mind. Think about that. It's gnawing at it. It's eating it away. Amen? A predator is preying on your mind with worry. Amen? So anybody ever experienced that? You know you missed a blessing because you let worry of tomorrow take you out of the service. And you couldn't receive from God because your mind, you were thinking and worrying about what might happen or what's going to happen or what could happen. Amen? Amen. That's not childlike faith. You say, well, a child, I mean, I'm an adult. I have responsibilities. I have to take care of things. Maybe you should let him take care of them. At the very least, don't worry about it. Sure, you might have to take care of things, but believe that he's going to allow you to take care of it without you stressing about it. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And Psalm 131, 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Amen. not exalted things. We're not interested in exalted things, not interested in honors or riches or recognition or things that are higher than us. Amen? I don't exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. That's a King James way of, or a, you know, a Psalms Bible way of saying that's above my pay grade. Right? You've heard that term? I don't have to worry about that because that's above my pay grade. Somebody else gets paid more money than I do to worry about those things. Amen. I've used that all kinds of time in my job, right? People will come to me, you got to worry about this. What about this? Hey, man, that's not my concern. That's above my pay grade. Well, why don't we do that spiritually? Amen? I can say, look, that's not my problem. I don't exercise myself in those great matters or in things too high for me. Amen. That's my Father's job. He takes care of those things. Amen. Here's another cliche. I just stay in my lane. Amen. As a child, I do what a child is supposed to do. That is trust his parent. I trust my father. I believe my father. I let him be mindful of those things. I don't mind the high things. I'm not wise in my own conceits, so I'm not wise in thinking that I'm so great that I can do something about it. It is a prideful thing, you know, to try and take control of things that are not in your control. Thinking that you can make a difference, that you can do something about it. Amen? It's a pride control thing. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Now, this is a scripture that I love to quote all the time. Because to me, this is Jesus. This is part of Jesus' instructions to us as children. And these are promises. Ask and it shall be given to you. I mean, there's not a lot of gray area there, right? There's not a lot of, you know, it's pretty simple. We don't need to get like into the Greek. Like what do those words mean? Parse the words that Jesus said here. What's, you know, get into the historical context of, look, man, just read it. Ask and it shall be given you. Right? Jesus said that. So you just have to, the only thing you have to know is, was he speaking to me? So was he speaking to you when he said this? Are you his child? Ask and it shall be given you. We make it so complicated. Seek and you shall find. So if you don't know, ask. If you don't know where, seek. Or how or what, seek, ask. Right? These are questions that you take to him. Right? It doesn't have to be asking for something. It could be asking because you don't know. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen? What do I go, Lord, open the door for me. Show me the way. Make a way. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Wait, and hold on. There's got to be some qualifiers here, right? Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Did I read that right? Everyone? Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So, the problem is that we don't ask. And we don't seek and we don't knock. Or we're asking and seeking and knocking of the wrong person or thing. Or we're looking in the wrong places. Right? And Jesus says here, he says, look, it's a relationship between a father and a child. What man of you is there? What men, if his son will ask of him, Father, give me bread, give me food to eat, he'll give him a stone. Amen. We wouldn't do that with our natural children, yet sometimes we treat God like this. Like he's trying to trick us, or like he's going to treat us badly, or like somehow he's trying to withhold his promises from us, or he's trying to make it hard on us. But what natural man is there that would do that? If he does, he's a reprobate. He's a bad father. And there are plenty of them out there. But our Father is not that way. Amen. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? What a miserable, low-down father. Amen? Would say, son, you're not deserving of bread from me. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Exchange where someone comes asking something good and give him something evil. You know, this is what, brother, sister, this is what people, people that have worshipped false gods and the imagination that people have of gods in general is of this. Where the gods are petty. Amen. They're tricksters. In fact, just the name, the word demon, it actually has the meaning and a connotation of a trickster. Of someone who's causing mischief or mischievous. That's not our Father. Right? He's not a trickster. He's not trying to pull a bait and switch on you. He's not trying, he doesn't have, you know, a carrot out on a stick, and he's saying, just get it just a little further, come on, you know. He's not like that. He's very true to his promise. He's straightforward. He's not trying to make things hard on you. He's not trying to make it complicated or difficult to understand. He's saying, just do, just believe, just knock, just ask. He says, if you then, just a normal, sane father, even a normal, sane father, which today is hard to find maybe, right? It's hard to find normal, sane people in general in our society. But just a normal human mother or father, he says, even then, being evil, born in sin, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? A child is dependent and trusting, and they only have to ask. They don't do anything to earn it. They just ask. Amen? So with these promises, brother, sister, the only thing that we have to know is that he is going to hear us. Because if we know that he hears us, then he's going to give us what we need. Amen? He's not going to give us a serpent. He's not going to give us a stone. He's going to give us the best. Hallelujah. From the token, Brother Branham says, the blood tonight is applied by simple faith. Simple faith. It's not nothing supernatural. Amen. Understand that what God meets your simple faith with is supernatural. But the application of simple faith is not. Brother Branham says it's not something supernatural. It's just right around you everywhere. Just simply like a child, reach out and get a hold of it and apply the blood. He said hyssop is just a simple, the hyssop where they were using it to apply the blood, right, in Egypt. He said the hyssop is just a simple, childlike faith for the believer. It isn't something out of your reach. You don't have to reach very far to get it. The hyssop grows in that country and it grows in the cracks in the walls. It's kind of a little diamond-shaped leaf. You can pick it up just anywhere, just as grass or weeds would be in the country here now. Just pick it up, apply it, put it on the door. That's the way faith is to be applied. Have we made this too complicated? He says, take faith rather and apply the blood of Jesus Christ by faith to the heart's door. And this was going to separate and make the difference between those who were going out of Egypt and those who were going to stay in Egypt and perish with Egypt. It made the difference. What if they had said, you know, I mean, come on. There's a death angel passing through the land. Supernatural power is going to sweep through and kill the firstborn. And you think, like, a little blood from a lamb is going to stop this thing? Why would it stop at that? And besides, why do I have to use a plant to do it? Why can't I just wipe it on there with my hand? Do you think they asked those kind of questions? The Egyptians did, I'm sure. What are you talking about? You're going to take blood and dip it in this plant and put it on your door? And you think that that's going to somehow stop a plague? Come on. Must have seemed kind of crazy, right? But you see, that is simple childlike faith. The childlike faith doesn't try and reason or figure out why. It was the Egyptians that were the sophisticated ones. Right? They would say, look, I mean, what is this blood have, this lamb's blood have some magical power? Or, you know, is there something supernatural in this weed that you've... No, just a common weed. I just picked it out from the crack in my wall, my garden wall. And I just picked it there. And the lamb, you know, we raised the lamb just like any other, you know. Nothing supernatural about it. Lamb's blood, you know. Amen. Simple faith. But they said, God said to do it. I don't understand it. They didn't understand what they were representing, but they believed. They just said, Lord, I don't know. I don't understand, but you said it. Amen? I'm going to take what you said with something common within my reach, and I'm going to do it. Why do we have so much trouble doing the simple, common, everyday stuff? Amen? And we're trying to reach and do the extraordinary instead of the common, simple, everyday stuff. If we just applied that every day with consistency, the simple, everyday things, how far we would get. From the message, it is I, he says another thing. He says, I think if we had an instruction service to let people know, he says, many of them are new, or it's new to them. When the Holy Spirit, when you're praying and you be praying and remembering that God's fixing to answer your prayer right then. He says, as soon as it speaks, you rise. So in other words, as soon as the Holy Spirit calls out to somebody, he's saying, you know, you should just respond right away, right? God wants you to move real quick. Be responsive and to rise to it. He says, you notice many times I see the vision over someone, and then I'd speak again. And if they don't respond to it, it moves right over to somebody else, see? And it's very timid, the Holy Spirit is, and it'll move. Maybe that person sitting there with good faith, believing that would help them a little. It will not heal them. It doesn't heal them, but it gives them confidence to know that their prayer touched the high priest. And sometimes that way they'll miss it by not knowing just to take a hold of it because it's something new. And it's not, he says, it's not no more than what your pastor or anyone else who'd pray for you, because after all, it's just the prayer of faith. that saves the sick. The pastor has just as much right to pray for you as anyone there is. And if your pastor's not there, a good saintly person in the neighborhood or anyone, because confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. He said, I believe James chapter 5. He says, and it's been marvelous. Many times I wonder sometimes how that so many things happen. But he says, it's just a simple prayer. I come up and pray for someone, maybe dying, sarcomas, cancer or something, just eating up. And after a while along the road, some, you remember me, Brother Branham, I was the one that so-and-so, 10,000s of around the world. See, just simple faith. It's nothing. And anything that we work ourselves up to, it's just something that we believe like a child would believe. Even cancer, doesn't matter what it is. He says, many times I wonder, he says, how so many things happen by just a simple prayer. And you know, when you listen to Brother Branham pray, he's not making a huge, big deal many times. He just does very simple, humble prayer. Amen. Lord, because he knows the Lord is hearing him. Yeah. And he's a child asking. Yeah. And that's it. In simplicity. Is it just simple faith? It's nothing or anything that we would work ourselves up to. So too many times we believe if we come up for prayer, we go through a prayer line and we do something like that, we have to somehow work ourselves, we got to pump ourselves up. Work ourselves up to faith. He says it's just something that we believe. Either you believe it or you don't. Amen. He says it's something we believe like a child would believe. Now, I love this little analogy. He says, just like you'd promise your little girl a new dress on Saturday or a little boy an overall jacket. He says, see, they will expect that. It's just that simple, childlike faith. That's all God wants us to be because we're just children anyhow. And so his little analogy, it's like you as a parent, you would tell maybe your little girl, I'm going to get you a new dress. All right, well, they just take you at your word. And sometimes, because we're forgetful parents, they'll remind us. Right? Because they believe. Now, God's not forgetful, but he does things in his timing and not our timing. But if you truly believe, you'll just remind him not by not out of lack of faith, but just you promised it. Remember when you made that promise? I believe it. I'm still trusting in it. I'm still holding on to it. I'm still believing it. Amen. You promised me that dress. You promised me those overalls. And my father has never lied. He can't lie. He only speaks truth. And Brother Branham says that simple childlike faith is what he wants us to have. He says that's all God wants us to be. I want to be what God wants me to be, don't you? That's it, because he says, because we're just children anyhow. Hallelujah. Confidence to know that he's heard our prayer. Amen. And he promised. He said he would do it. And the childlike faith doesn't even consider any other option or any other eventuality. It doesn't even cross their mind. I mean, he said it. He said he would do it. So he's going to do it. Amen? Of course he hears me. It's simple expectation. Hallelujah. Amen. You're quiet tonight, but it's truth. Amen. From the message, Jehovah Jireh, he says, I always refer to this, and it seems so strange. He tells us this little story here. He says, there was a little woman in Germany, got one here about a year or two ago. She had to translate in the back. The translator did in English so I could read it. And she had been crippled in a wheelchair for about 15 years. And she got this. I believe it was a little tract or a little pamphlet. And she got this and she read how she must call the pastor and if there was no, or a prayer clock maybe it was, huh? And how she must call the pastor and there was no pastor. So she called some Christians and then confessed everything that she'd ever done wrong and make it right with God. Yeah, it was a prayer cloth, right? Then lay that up over her heart and pin it on her underneath garment and then have faith. Okay, so that was the instructions that they sent out with the prayer cloth, right? If there's anything in your life you need to confess, confess it, make it right, have somebody pray for you, pin it on you, and God will answer. That was the instructions. So she did it. He says, so when she got all this done, she just, childlike faith, that's what they said to do, that's what I'm going to do, right? She got all this done, her pastor was there, she put it on her heart, and she said, now, old devil, old man devil, you've had me long enough. Get away. She had fulfilled the requirements. She had done her part. And now she was expecting to receive what God had said was hers. So she said, now, I've done it, old man devil. You've had me long enough. Get away. And up she got and went on walking. That's just how simple it was. Perfectly healed, normal. It's just your simple faith in believing. People try to make faith too complicated. That's what he said, not me. I'm reading that to you. So could we maybe fall into that a little? People try to make faith too complicated. It's not complicated. It's just simple, childlike faith. You know the blood of the Old Testament was applied by hyssop. You've heard it many times. You know what hyssop is? Common weeds. You find it anywhere down in Egypt and so forth, and it grows out of the adobe cracks in the building where the wind has packed the seed, and they get that, and so he, you know, it's the same thing there that we read where he says it's kind of a little diamond-shaped flower. What does it mean? He says you don't have to have any super faith to apply the blood of Jesus Christ. Just common faith. Believe it. That's all. And remember, the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, on any ground. That's right. The word of God will defeat Satan. Not your faith will defeat Satan. Your faith is in him. Your faith is in his word. He will do the defeating. We make it too complicated. A child is not sophisticated. Their thinking is very simple. It's very straightforward. And maybe people look down on that. Not maybe, people do look down on that. They look down on Christians that are simple in that way. But that's what we want to be. We want to be simple that way. Amen? We're not worried about what people think. That's where modern Christianity has just fallen so flat. And what the prophet preached against so much is the intellectualism in Christianity, where they have to have this proved and that proved. And, you know, they're going to go through this, history and this archaeology and this science and that science. Who cares? I'm concerned about what God says. Amen? Why do I worry about what a bunch of philosophers think? I believe my Father. A child will follow and obey even when they don't understand. They don't need to understand. It's not trust if you understand. Things don't make sense to our human mind many times. Amen? But it takes simple obedience to open up the blessings of God to us. I mean, what if that sister had thought, well, she read that and thought, why do I have to do all this? Right? This seems like strange, like cloth and what? Right? What is all this about? And you know what? There were people in that day that did that. Do you think that they got healed? No, not if that was their approach. Not if they were questioning, looking at it going, I don't get this, doesn't right? I'm not sure. If you just believe it, if you just receive it, simple obedience. Things that don't make sense to our minds sometimes. I'll give you some examples. Jesus told Martha, Martha, roll that stone away. Whoa. He's dead. That's his grave. He's been in there long enough that he stinks. Right? And he's wrapped up in grave cloths. But if you don't roll the stone away, he won't raise. It takes simple obedience, right? Amen. At your word, Lord, I'll do it. Peter cast the net on the other side. But wait a minute, we've been fishing all night, and I'm pretty sure once or twice we tossed it on that side of the boat. How is one more on the side that we've already fished on going to make a difference? Well, if that was his attitude, he wouldn't have gotten anywhere. But he said, at thy word, Lord. Not, hey, I'm the more experienced fisherman here. What do you know about fishing? Peter was the expert. Right? You know, one of the most impressive things to me that Brother Branham talks about is the attitude of some doctors that were open to divine healing because of that. Right? That was their profession. They were professionals in medicine. They were trained men. Right? And you know, many of them had an intellectual attitude and they would kind of cast a downward eye at divine healing. But some recognized that they weren't healers. And those kind of men, that always impressed me, that they had enough humility to admit that, look, we're just assisting and we're just trying to help, but it's God that is the healer. Amen? It made me think of that because Peter's been fishing his entire life. He's the expert fisherman. And here Jesus is telling him, well, you know, you might find some fish if you just flip it over on the other side. And they're going, no way. Simple obedience. His childlike faith said, Lord, because you said so, I'll do it. Amen? At your word. Are you going to do the simple things that are well within your power, your grasp to do, even though it doesn't seem like it would make a difference? That's the test. Amen? Moses, this is what you're going to do. You're going to hold your hands in the air. And as long as you're holding your hands in the air, my people are going to be victorious over the enemy. That's a head scratcher. So as long as I'm holding my hands in the air, so if I start to let them down, we won't be victorious. That's right. That's what happened. Okay? What if Moses, you know, in his great intellect said, this is crazy, this is ridiculous, right? He was part of Pharaoh's house. He was raised with great understanding and education and, you know, said, you know what, I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to stand up on a hill where everybody can see me and lift my hands. What if that was his attitude? But you see the humility. Amen? A sophisticated person would try and reason why. But Moses just said, okay, we'll do it. Lift my hands. And, you know, it took some men to help him. But as long as he kept his hands up, they were winning the battle. Amen? Simplicity. Childlike faith, not trying to understand or figure it out, or how in the world do you connect a guy over on a hill raising his hands to a battle that's going on over here? The only connection is obedience to God's word. That's all it was. Amen? Obedience to God's word. They came against a great walled city, one of the greatest walled cities in the land. Protected, built to withstand sieges of great armies. And God said, yep, we're going to take them. You're going to march around it and blow your horns. Okay, and then we attack? No, you're just going to march around and blow your horns. That's it. They're going to laugh at us. Not with their walls falling down, they're not going to. Amen? March around and blow your trumpets, and that will defeat the enemy. God's ways are not our ways. They weren't going to be able to take credit for any of it, other than the fact that they were obedient and they did just what God had told them to do.
Amen?
Amen? They didn't defeat the enemy. God defeated their enemy. But he defeated their enemy because with childlike faith, they obeyed and did exactly what he said, even though it didn't make any sense from any general's tactics, strategy. No sense for an army to do that. God told him to do something that the human mind must have thought was insane. But yet simple obedience won the victory. How many times in our lives do we lose victory because we are not walking in simple, childlike faith? In the message Unveiling of God, Brother Branham says there are several sitting here, a number. He says that was with us that day, or with us the other day, when he came in a whirlwind. It happened right out here near Sunset Mountain, right? He says he told us the day before, Brother Banks Woods and them, when he said, take up this rock, throw it up in the air, and say, thus saith the Lord, and you will see it right away. I picked up a rock up on top of the mountain, I threw it up in the air, and of course, coming down, it started a whirlwind, see, the suction of it. You have to do something to cause something to follow it. This always amazed me. It still amazes me. Because what happened after that was the Alaskan earthquake. We were up there in Alaska up in June and saw some of the sites, and they are still, it is still to this day, one of the biggest events ever to happen in the history of that area. They're still feeling the effects from it. They're still doing construction on buildings because of what happened in that earthquake. We went and saw they had the film, they have the movie, the whole experience where they tell you about it. And so much science, so much of what we know today about earthquakes was because of all the studies and things that they did in that earthquake. It was a major event, a turning point. And it started with a prophet throwing a stone in the air. Amen? But look at what he says here in this 37th paragraph. He says, you have to do something to cause something to follow it. Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it, and then multiplied from that piece of bread. He took water and poured it into a pitcher, right? And made wine. He doesn't finish that, but right? He made wine from the water. And Elijah took salt and poured it in a cruse and cut down a stick and threw it in the waters. He says it's something to symbolize. And picking up this rock and throwing it into the air and coming down started the whirlwind. An action that seems totally unrelated and disconnected, amen, from what is required at hand. Jesus pouring out some water to be able to turn it into wine, starting to break bread so that it would be multiplied. Amen? Prophet throwing a rock in the air. These are all acts of simple faith. Remember, Jesus was doing those things because the Father showed him. So he was actually acting out of simple childlike faith. He saw the Father showed him what to do, and he did it. Isn't that right? An action that seems totally unrelated takes simple, childlike obedience. Amen. We can't explain God. We have to believe God. Amen? We can't explain how breaking bread multiplies it, but we believe it. We can't explain how pouring out water turns it into wine, but God did it anyway. Amen? Do what the Word tells you to do. We obey even though it might not make sense to our reasoning minds. Amen? Not afraid to look like a fool, to look like a simpleton. Amen. You know that the priests, when they were walking, they were carrying the ark and they were getting ready to cross Jordan into the promised land, and the water was raging. They had to step in. They had to walk. They had to take a step of faith in a way that was, it didn't seem like there was no way. But they had to step, and then God made the way. Once they took the step of childlike obedience, they said, Lord, I'm just going to do what you say. The problem is, brother, sister, is we know too much. Amen? Or we think we know too much. Right? We're thinking about how something can be instead of just thinking that God said so. Let our thinking be on the Word of God and what God's Word said about it, instead of thinking, how can it be and how can it happen? How can this work out and what do I have to do? And how about just believe? How about just trusting Him? Amen. Let me read you this last quote. We'll finish with this tonight. Go wake Jesus. He says, he's praying, and they're getting ready to have a prayer line. Right? He's getting ready to call the prayer line. And he's saying, may as they pass through this line and we lay our hands upon them, may they recognize that it's just not just going by man, but God and man is one. God has come into man. So he's talking about the men that are going to be laying hands on them and praying for them, right? He says, God does nothing apart from man. That's what he does. His works is through man, and he made man his partner. When Jesus stood looking upon the harvest, he said, the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest. And he was the Lord of the harvest. In other words, ask me to do what I know is right to do. Ask. Ask him to do what he already knows is right to do. What he's already said and promised, you ask him to do it. Amen? But he had connected himself with the disciples, and they was the one to ask. And he said, you have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you believe not. But Father, we believe. Amen. I hope we can say that tonight. Amen. I hope that it's not Jesus saying of us, you have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you believe not. I hope we can say like Brother Branham said, but Father, we believe. Amen. And we are asking. He says, we believe and we're asking tonight for your mercy again with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Childlike faith is trusting, confident in the Father that he knows what we have need of. Praying, asking him to do what he knows is right to do. What he's already promised to do. believing and asking. Amen? Amen. That's the kind of believer I want to be. Amen? How about you? Amen. 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 Let's stand tonight. I want to let him have total control. I want to let him figure it out. If there's something I can't figure out, I want to let him figure it out. If there's something I can figure out, I want to let him figure it out instead of me. Amen. Amen. I want to let. I don't want to lead. I want him to lead. Amen. I want him to be God. I want him to be Father. Yes. I don't want to be God. I don't want to be in charge. I want him. I don't want to be the problem solver. You know, one of the things that always, personally, my personal experience in industry and my professional life that I learned very early on was that I could be a very good employee and I could make my bosses very happy, and which means I would get raises. I could make them very happy by not bringing them problems, but bringing them solutions. Being a problem solver. Nobody likes somebody who's just complaining all the time. They want somebody to solve problems, right? Don't just bring me problems, bring me solutions. I figured that out early on by God's grace. But that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. We have to leave that behind. I'm not the problem solver. You're not the problem solver. He's the problem solver. Take your problems to him and leave them there. And let him solve them. Amen. Amen. Because he is that. Amen. And I'm just a child leaning on him. Amen. So let's just lean on him tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, we are so thankful, Lord. Lord, that we can trust you, Lord. From top to bottom in every way, Lord, we trust you with every part of our lives. We know, Lord, that you have our very breath in your hands, our next heartbeat, Lord. We're only here because of you. And we trust you, Lord. As little children, Lord, we cast ourselves into your arms and say, oh, Papa, Father, Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, forgive me for trying to run things. Forgive me for trying to take control. Lord, I want you to lead me in every way, Lord. Lord, I want that childlike faith, Lord, to be able to just take a hold of every single promise, to ask without wavering, because I know that my Father has promised to give me good gifts. Oh, we thank you, Lord. You're such a good, wonderful, loving provider. And we thank you for it, Lord. We honor you, Lord. I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to surrender to you a little bit more tonight, Lord. Maybe to let go a little bit more. To just live a little bit closer to you, Lord. To lay maybe just one more burden down tonight at your feet. Maybe stop carrying just one thing. One load, one weight, one worry, just to lay it down tonight at your feet, Lord. And we know, Lord, if we do that step by step, Lord, we'll take your yoke, your burden that's light and easy to be borne. How we love you, how we thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to see victory in every life here, Father. And you do too. And that is your will for your children. We just want to receive it tonight. We thank you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I wonder if we could sing that song, You're a Good, Good Father. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's We're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you're just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father.